Chapter 1.
There will be days or nights we can never forget. This night for me is one. It was late Friday night. In early August, winds were blowing through the canyons at hurricane force. The local news at 10 p.m. said gusts in this area of the San Gabriel Mountains reached 82 miles per hour. The shutters on the house were banging against the walls, clattering as if they would blow off. The sound reverberated throughout the canyon, magnifying, then echoing it back. Sleep was impossible. I lay in an upstairs bedroom on the west-facing side of the house, praying that one of the numerous large trees surrounding my property would not fall, crashing through the roof. Looking out the window, all I could see was a torrent of rain running off the roof like a waterfall. Then being blown into a swirling mist by the blustering winds, darkness enveloped the house. Not a streetlight shone through the clouds of leaves and tree branches, blowing around the house trying to get in. It appears they also seek a place of shelter. I have seen storms like this in Florida, but never before in Southern California. The storm passed the next morning. It was a little after 9:30 a.m. when I could go outside to survey the damage. I heard a thunderous crash about 3 a.m. Finally, I could see what caused the crash. One of the large old oak trees that lined my driveway, outside the massive wrought iron gates, had fallen, or one half of the tree had. It was split down the middle as if divided by some giant axe. I can see it will take a giant axe to clear the driveway. The tree completely blocked it. There is no way I will be able to get my car out without removing that tree. My yard looked like a forest floor, piles upon piles of leaves, broken branches, and litter of all sorts. A heck of a mess. But the tree is my concern. I need to go downtown Pasadena to pick up some files from my office. I called every tree service company in the book. All were busy. Trees all over the region were down, many streets blocked. I was going to have to remove it myself. By the time I fetched a pair of work gloves along with an axe. I have not used an axe in 5 years. The sun was blazing hot. How strange. A few hours ago, the sky was dark with mighty storm clouds. Wind was howling like a devil trying to destroy all in its path. Now the sky is clear, not even a speck of a cloud. The air outside is so humid, sweat ran down my cheeks, as if the rain is still here. I almost quit, and went inside the house, however, the need to get my car out to the street offset my aversion to the hard work facing me. This tree must weigh over a ton. I tried to take the axe and chop off the smaller branches, but this old oak is hard as a rock. Time for the big chainsaw. I have not used that saw in 2 years. To get it to start, it took 32 pulls on the cord. Now the sweat blocks my vision, and not helping my attitude, as I find myself yelling at the saw. Damn saw did not care how much I berated it. However, it finally relented and screamed to life. Now I will tear up that darn tree, so I thought. My plan of attack is simple. Cut off the large high branches first. When it is a log, cut the log into pieces that will fit in the fireplace. The first cut was on the largest high branch. The saw cut rapidly into the oak. About one halfway through the large branch, the saw bucked and pinched to a stop. It was bound. I could not move it. After applying 22 choice cuss words at the saw, I thought if I could put a rope around the top branch, I could pull it down, freeing the blade. I threw a rope up over the branch, secured it, and took the other end in hand and pulled. This old oak is stronger than me. I gave it a mighty tug. The branch broke free. It happened so fast it caused me to fall backward on the driveway. The branch fell on top of me. My driveway is made of broken concrete pieces placed in a pattern, leaving a 2-inch gap between the stones. Grass grew, filling those gaps. When I fell backward, my head hit on the edge of one of those stones. I could feel the blood flowing down my neck. I was attempting to get up when the tree branch fell on top of me, causing my head to hit again. I lost consciousness. I have no idea how long I lay there. When I came to, I was in my living room, lying on the sofa. My daughter and her husband standing over me, talking in whispers.
Dad, glad you're awake. You lost a lot of blood. We stopped the bleeding and bandaged your head. How do you feel?
Alive, just tired and damn angry at that tree.
Can you stand?
Sure, why not? It was not my legs that got hurt. I only want a warm shower and bed.
Dad, you want me to take you to the doctor?
Hell no, why pay him? You did better for free.
May I fix your dinner? We came over to take you out.
Not hungry, dear. I need to rest. The body is sore. Are you staying here tonight?
No, Dad. We have to pick up the boys at 7 p.m. Sure you will be okay?
Yes, and thank you both. It is appreciated. That night and the following day changed my life. Certainly the direction, the objectives I would follow. Rather than a shower, not wanting to get the bandages on my head wet, I took a warm bath soaking the muscles, allowing the warm water to relax my sore joints. After a prolonged soak, I felt much better. Even though my head was throbbing, my body felt good, just tired. I poured a glass of fine Merlot, placed a tape of Mozart concertos to play softly, and slid under the soft down comforter. Within minutes, I was fast asleep. At least my body was. The mind was not. It was churning, spitting out visions of things beyond my understanding. In the vision or dream, if you like to think of it as a dream, I was out of my body floating somewhere above this earth, when a voice spoke, saying,
"All is recorded, all the words are here," the voice said.
I could not see who was speaking. So I asked, "What was recorded? What do you mean?"
"Up here, all is recorded from down there," the voice said.
"I do not understand what you are speaking of."
"Son, you study the scriptures, you have been told. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. The time is soon, you are to speak those words," the voice said.
"What words?"
"I want you to understand how life works, how all is recorded, every word from the mouth of man since the day he is born. At birth, in heaven as on earth, your birth is recorded, your names, time, and date of birth. Your location of birth is entered into the file, the book of human life. From that time, all the words spoken by a person are recorded in their file. Those files can be searched much as you do a file on a computer. You only need the device, the data of the person you are searching, their date of birth, their birth names, the time and location of birth."
"How can that be with billions of people now and those who have gone before?"
"Son, the universe is vast. The numbers you speak of are small but a speck of sand. You do not need to know how, only believe what I say. I will show you the device needed. Once you have the device, all will be revealed. No man can lie, all can be exposed. Do you understand?"
"I do. This can be very dangerous. To reveal what evil men say in the dark, will they allow that? Does this mean we can look back in time to hear the history of any person?"
"Yes, all is recorded. Here is the device," the voice said.
I saw what appears to be a large golf tee in shape.
"Son, light carries information. The light shining upon the cup is transmitted through the point. The data can be recorded."
"How does it work?"
"Son, that is for you to explore. I have provided you the key. You unlock the door. The most important door your world will ever see."
Not sure how long this vision lasted. When I awoke, my body was soaking wet from sweat, the bed also. I was shivering as if cold, yet it was hot. I felt sticky, so uncomfortable. I needed to take another bath, to calm my body and mind. After a bath, I felt calmer, but needed to put fresh sheets on the bed. I could not lay in those damp, soiled sheets. I tried to return to sleep, but sleep would not come. The vision consumed my mind. I looked at the clock. It was 3:25 a.m. Time does not matter. I must record what is in my mind. I sat at my morning room table and wrote all I was told. Then drew an image of the device, noting what it did and how it worked, at least how I was told. Now I have to find if it is possible. Nothing can be accomplished if you do not believe it is possible. Why work on a project with no hope of success? My business is data systems, so I can envision the possibility of what I saw. The data storage of the words is not that complex, but how the words get into the matrix is. I should not dwell upon how the words get into the file. The voice told me it was not important. It is only necessary that I believe what I saw is true. This conclusion makes the research less complicated. I need only to find how light can carry the data, then access and receive it. Radio waves and microwaves carry voice communication worldwide. So it is entirely possible visible light waves can do the same. The phone's constant ringing in the other room forced me out of the congestion of information my mind was sorting. "Hello, dear Annie. Thank you for your help. I am feeling much better." "No, it is not bleeding. You did a fine job. How did you stop the bleeding?"
Lawrence had some butterfly closures in his bag. He clasped three of those. He said the wound needs to be cleaned today. "We will come over after church around noon, okay?"
I awoke to the boys yelling, "Papa N, can we see the blood?" They call me Papa N because I dislike being called Grandpa. I am too young to be a grandpa. In my mind, I am still 30. At least some girls I date on occasion say I look 30. They would not lie, would they? Her mother, Mandy, and I divorced when Annie was only 4. I am now 47.
Boys, the blood was cleaned up. "If you want to see blood go out to the driveway, you can find gallons of it," Annie told them. Down the stairs, the boys bounded. Larry picked up a couple of workers at the builder's supply store to cut up that tree. He told them you would pay them $100 each if they cut it into firewood. Is that okay?
"Sure, dear, thank you. I did not relish tackling that saw again."
"Let's see your head. It looks great. You heal fast."
"Thank you for the help, Larry. Mighty lucky you came by."
"Dad, Larry, call the boys. Lunch is ready. I know you like Mexican food, so we picked up a feast."
"Lawrence, what do you know about light waves carrying data?"
"Communication is not my forte, but all energy beams or waves can transmit data, is my understanding. Why do you ask?"
"Curiosity. Last night I had a dream, more like a vision. I was told that all human speech is recorded in a matrix somewhere in the universe."
"Who told you that?"
"I have no idea, only that I was floating around outside of my body, and a voice said, 'All is recorded. Every word out of the mouth of man.'"
"Dad, you had a blow to your head. The trauma caused a bad dream."
"Dear Annie, this was not a bad dream, actually a great one. The same voice showed me a device. It looks like a large golf tee. He said the cup, the top of the tee, receives information, and the point can record this information on a disk, similar to how a computer writes a file on a disk."
"So, where does the information come from?"
"Not sure, but I was told to make the device, then I would understand."
"Dad, this was a dream. It is not real. Why would you want to hear that anyway?"
"Annie, think of this. He said all words are recorded since the birth of man. This goes back in time. Imagine, if we could access that data, then listen to words spoken hundreds or even thousands of years ago."
"Dad, it is hard enough to listen to my children talk each day. Why worry about others? It makes no sense."
"Probably not, but it is interesting, don't you think? Court trials could be simple. Play back the true words spoken. None could lie. All would be exposed. Politicians could no longer spout the incessant horseshit they now do. They would be accountable. All could be known."
"I agree, it is an interesting concept, but hypothetically, who would own such a device?"
"Lawrence, that is the question. Who could be allowed to control this data? They could then control the world. They would hold all secrets."
"This is a perilous scenario. Why do you think this dream or vision was real?"
"This was the only time in my life when a Bible verse was quoted in a dream. I had not read that verse. I did not know it. So where did it come from?"
"What verse?"
"Luke 12:3. I looked it up this morning. 'Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops.' That scripture confirms what I was told. The voice said all is recorded, like the state records of birth. The birth name, the date and time of birth, and the location. He said this goes into a matrix in the heavens."
"Where?"
"I was told that is not important, only that it was, and could be searched. The voice said that light transmits data. So my thinking is that since any search would be by name, date, and time of birth and location, there would need to be a grid containing the data."
"That is somewhat reasonable, but does not answer the difficult question. If such a device could be made, it could cause more harm than good."
"Lawrence, I have no answer for that. It intrigues me, though."
"Dad, you are not serious. You are not going to pursue this, are you?"
"Dear Annie, we are just having a conversation. Don't you find it interesting?"
"Dad, I know you. When you say it intrigues you, that means you are serious."
"Annie, I am a data systems architect. This described to me as the largest data system imaginable. How could I not be interested? at least to determine if it is feasible. What does my dear family have in store for the rest of the day?
We are driving down to Fullerton to see Larry's mom. The workers have the tree finished. We will drop them off when we leave.
Thanks again. Have a safe trip.